travels through a kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. Kaya Flynn with you here on Radio Kerry up until 7 o'clock this evening. And I do hope I find you all well. If you'd like to get in touch with tonight's programme, you can do so by texting 083 300 3300 or WhatsApping. Or you can email me kflynn@radiokerry.ie at any stage between tonight, tomorrow or any day during the week as well. We have quite a bit coming up for you on tonight's programme, so we may as well get straight into it. We return back to Castle Island Daycare Centre to hear more of the beautiful poems the people told me over that day. As part of Biodiversity Week, we'll be learning a little bit more about moths and their role in nature. And there's a lot more than I actually expected, and more than just eating your clothes, I have to say. We revisit the archive of Sean Hardy, as always, as well. And we'll be listing out some of your favourite beaches here in Kerry. But first on this evening's programme, we are going to head off to the Fla Ciúil Kerry. On Wednesday last, Kerry Cultus officially launched the Fla 2022 in the Meadowlands Hotel. I met a few familiar faces at the event and some new ones too. So if you're listening tonight, hello to all of you as well. We will hear from John Long and Karen Trent in just a few moments. But first, launching the Fla of 2022 was Nicky and Anne McAuliffe, and they spoke to me about the event.
And Nicky McAuliffe from Castle Island, and we're here tonight in the Meadowlands in Tralee at the launch of 2022 Fla.
Fantastic. And as well.
And I'm Anne McAuliffe, originally Sheehy from Lixnaw, and I was always in the Lixnaw branch of Cultus and moved along with it and travelled around to all the flares and everything.
So how does a Lixnaw woman meet a Castle Island man?
Or true music. Playing in sessions and going to flares.
And the Brass and the Cayley Band.
And the Brass and the Cayley Band.
Yeah.
Way back in the 60s.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, 1969. Yeah. Doing your radio programme in Cork.
Oh, very good.
We often did.
11th of October.
Oh, he knows all the dates and he's pushing you out. Very good. And you played music together over the years.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Well, we played music since we were married. We were playing music long before it. Well, we were in the Desmond Cayley Band and the Brass and the Cayley Band. And we travelled, I suppose, a good piece of the world, which seems to Tira, which was here from Tralee, and we also travelled with Cultus Tours to America, and another group called the Rithery. We went to Australia and the United States as well, and we travelled a lot of Europe with Shreams of Tear as well. Mm-hmm. So we've actually seen a lot of old cities and hotels, all through music, mm-hmm. You know.
And what kind of music were you playing?
I was playing the button accordion mostly at that time, and later on I played the flute, the concert flute, and then later still I got a concertina.
Oh wow.
So I've tried them all. Mm-hmm. And Nicky played the fiddle and the flute.
I played the flute and whistle, bit in the whistle as well, and that was it. And we were teachings as well, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, I have 52 years in teaching, if you don't mind. Since 1970, and enjoyed it down the years, and now meet a lot of young lads now, older people now who I met as young lads, and that's great, meeting them and play a tune with them. That's a bit of great satisfaction there, you know, as well. Mm-hmm. And you the same, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I started teaching in 1975 when I got married. Before that, I worked for Kerry County Council.
Oh, very good.
And started teaching music in 1975 and more or less still at it.
Very good. And did you have, like, with your families and everything, did you have a very musical background, or is it just something that you picked up?
Oh, we did. My father played the fiddle. There was always music in the house, like, and musicians coming to the house, and mm-hmm. all my cousins and uncles.
Would you have rambling houses, so, in that sense?
More or less, that's what you would call them. No, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, the same in my place. My mother and father played the accordions for the local dancing. Well, there was a local dance hall near us at home, and my father, I think, played in the dance hall as well. And we also had a gramophone which was upmarket in the early 50s, you know, where you had records before your time now. The old wind-up gramophone, no electricity. And today we had a lot of the great music of the great fiddle players from New York. You could go and buy records for about 5 shillings in those days, which is a lot of money. And so the gramophone was a great addition to those players playing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're here for the launch of the Flow of 2022. So tell us a bit about the launch and what it means to even for the two of you to launch it tonight.
Well, it's a great honour to be asked to do it. Mighty honour, like. We never expected it.
And, yes, and it's 62 years since the first one in 1960. And as I said earlier in the launch, she was a competitor in 1960. Yes, it's great.
Belly high.
The great concert I was saying earlier, the great concert that used to be before the Flow as well, you know, where musicians were brought from up the country, we'll say, and playing the music of East Galway and Clare, which were great in Kerry that time. Mm-hmm. And we learned a lot from that, and so did more people as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's obviously we had a 2-year break there, and there's a lot of people that want to get out there and show their new skills and whatnot.
It has had a detrimental effect on children, and the fact that there were no classes and there was no practice done and no getting together and playing together, like, so that has to be kind of built up again, I'd say, like.
Mm-hmm. And this would be great for them now, for their confidence.
Exactly,
and
yes, it's back to the old times again, mm-hmm. you know, where they can compete and meet and compete.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will you be competing?
Too old.
Very good.
In the under 80, all right.
Very good. But look, we look forward to seeing the month of it. There's a load of events coming up from now until
great.
The end of June.
Very good. That's great.
So we'll be there along with you along the way anyway.
Of course, yes. And you'll hear all the great young people coming up, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the future talent.
That's good. Yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect, John. What is your responsibility with the Flacio of 2022?
Well, my responsibility, I suppose, Kaya, is small in a sense, in that I'm chairman of Chapter 23, which is of the Irish League of Credit Unions, and that incorporates 6 credit unions, namely Abbeyfield in West Limerick, Corcoguina in West Kerry, and then you have Listowel, you have Cara, which takes in Tralee, Castleisland and Killarglen. You have Killarney Credit Union, which takes in Cahir Sivean and Kinmare, and you have Rathmore and District Credit Union. And I suppose our part in that is that for the last number of years, going back quite a number of years now, we have always sponsored and contributed to supporting the FLA in Kerry. Mm-hmm. And that, I suppose, involves just putting forward the money, really.
Mm-hmm. And obviously it's very important to support, you know, local music, local talent. So how do you feel when you get involved in these things?
Well, I suppose when we look at the FLA, the FLA is very much a community-based event. Cultus, which is, we'll say, if you take the Kerry Cultus again, very much part of the community. And we as credit unions are very much community based. We're locally run. Our boards are volunteers. Our boards sitting on the credit union boards do not get paid, cannot get paid even by law. It's quite strict. And these volunteer their time and efforts week in, week out, free of charge. For the betterment of their credit union and for the betterment of the members in such a way that they can have financial inclusion right throughout. And I suppose when you look at Cultus in Kerry and you look at the FLA, they're run by volunteers just like us. Mm-hmm. So we would see very much that we would have a very, very close association with them. I suppose there are cases, Kaya, we'll say, where you would possibly have a director of a credit union who's a volunteer, and also that person may be a volunteer in their local Coltis group or committee or whatever.
Do you play any instruments yourself, John?
I don't, Kaya. I suppose.
Don't worry, I don't either.
It's in actual fact, it's a very good question, because it was something that I would have loved to have done. Mm-hmm. I haven't failed yet. I have quite an old accordion at home. I would play a few tunes in it, but I would really love to get to the stage, we'll say, where I could properly do it. And you'd never know, I might manage yet. Another instrument I would love is of course, the fiddle, as we call it,
yeah.
Or the violin. I would love to be able to play that. I was talking to Maurice Guilfoyle. Maurice is a long-time member of the Coltis. I think he's a Munster delegate now as well. And he was mentioning about a particular gentleman who teaches adults how to play these instruments. I think a man from Causeway. So you'd never know, in the year to come, I might...
Yeah.
If I get free time.
Of course. And you know what? I think it's great as well that there's classes for adults as well, because a lot of people kind of tell themselves, because they didn't learn instruments when they were younger, they can't do it now. But there's never, you know, a can't in it.
There's no such thing, Kaya, as not being able to do it now. I think you can... Even the person that's 95 can... I think once the willingness is there, I think you can do it. But I think Coltis and the likes of those involved in Coltis and the likes of those committees in the various areas around the county, I think there's great credit due to them to keep the likes of the music, the dance, the songs, the stories. To keep that alive is absolutely great, and it's worth anything. And I suppose the one thing about FLA Kiri 2022 is that for the last 2 years, we really and truly weren't able to meet. We weren't able to enjoy ourselves or things like that. And I suppose, like I said tonight, you know, music, a song... has a special place in people's lives, whether it's through sad times or happy times. The song and the music tells its own story.
Yeah.
And it can be a comfort to those that are going through hard times, and it can be a huge lift to those that are having a celebration, be it a wedding, a birthday party, a retirement party or whatever. You know, so I mean, the music and the song...
Is the soul.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think it's wonderful that we have it. And I think there's great credit due to Coltis throughout the country. And particularly, I suppose, here in Kerry, that has been kept alive. And I think being handed down to the young people all the time. And, I think that there's a great future ahead for... the likes of the traditional music, the song, but it's the fact to keep it alive. It's
exactly.
The fact that it's not going to die is very, very important.
And it's back with a bang now, which is important.
It's back with a bang, and you know, I think there may have been a time, we'll say, when certain different types of music, different types of songs probably took over, but there's a lot of young people now coming back to the dancing. The waltzes, the polka sets are very much a big thing, and I know that from my own experience with relations who are in their 20s who can dance polka sets, which is absolutely brilliant.
Well, at the end of the day, it's our culture, and it's important that we bring that up for the future. Karen, tonight was the launch of the FLA Kiri. How did everything go?
So we had a lovely night here in the Meadowlands Hotel for the launch of the FLA. It was great to have the FLA back, and that's actually the title of our children's art competition, The FLA's Back. So it was lovely to celebrate that, and there was a great atmosphere and a great gathering of friends and members of Coltis branches around the county, and we had invited guests and sponsors, and... Wonderful, great to be here. I think everybody's delighted to meet and chat and listen to the music.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's all in person. Now, you have a busy couple of weeks coming up for the next month anyway.
Yes.
Tell us what's coming up.
So the next event now will be the opening of the Fleur in Dúchas, and we will have Uachtarán an Comhaltais, Éamon O'Haraghán, who's a native of Lixnar. So he's going to open the Fleur officially on the 28th of May, and that will be followed then by a lovely concert with Brian O'Leary and friends. And the following day then we will be on Radio Kerry outside broadcast
with Billy
Donegan. On the 10th of June then we have our dancing weekend coming up then the 11th and 12th of June in Dúchas, where we'll have the set dancing, Ceilidh dancing and Seanós competitions. So they will be preceded on the Friday night by Ceilidh in Dúchas. So that is our set dancing weekend. Now normally we wouldn't have two separate weekends, but that's what we planned for this year, because we didn't know when we were planning this, you know, if there would be restrictions or what would be there. So we're running to a slightly different template this year, but nevertheless, you know, the same
format.
There'll
still be fun.
Yes. And then we have a singing club, traditional singing club, because the singers love to gather for the singing session. So that will be on the Thursday then, preceding the second weekend, and that will be in Nagail GA Club. And then the second weekend, then Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th of June, we will have the music and singing and Scéalaíocht and storytelling competitions, solos, duets, trios, bands and groupie chiol.
Something for everyone, so
yes,
which is very important.
Yeah.
Of any sort.
And it's just great, I suppose, that all these events are back again. And, you know, people have something to look forward to.
And supporting the talent around Kerry
exactly,
as well, which is great.
Yeah.
And they've missed that.
Yeah, and just it's great to showcase the young talent and the up-and-coming talent. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, while we did keep it going online and we had online workshops and, you know, online concerts, there's nothing like being back on stage in real life.
For confidence as well.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, and for camaraderie.
Yeah.
And, you know, just friendship and being together.
Fantastic. Well, Karen, we really look forward to it, and thank you so much for inviting me out here tonight. It was lovely to meet everyone.
Lovely to meet you, and you're always welcome to Comhaltais events.
And that was Karen Chance telling us all about what is coming up for the next month of the Fleur, and we do look forward to seeing all that, and there's a lot of stuff coming on here in Tralee as well. And a big thank you to Nikki, Anne and John as well, who were speaking before Karen. We're going to take a quick break here on Travels Through a Kingdom, but we'll be back with more.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And very welcome back to Travels Through a Kingdom on this beautiful sunny Sunday evening. Although it could rain at any point, you just don't know with the weather these days. But there's nothing worse when it's raining, but it's very humid outside. I think that's just the worst kind. I was in Clarny earlier and I got absolutely saturated, but it was still warm. So it's that kind of muggy weather, and it's very hard to fall asleep in that, I find anyway. You'd be kind of tired throughout the day as well with that kind of a feeling, but we'll shake out of it, plenty of cups of tea or water, I suppose, and we'll be fine. Now, as it is Biodiversity Week, I went out to Kilcommon last weekend to learn all things about insects, mammals and so much more as well. I met with Chris, who knows all about the ecosystem and biodiversity, and he explains to us the roles of moths in nature. And I can tell you, this is actually very interesting, and they're much more than just eating your clothes. So have a listen to this.
So we found this, the flame shoulder, and the square spot rustic. Both of them are, let me see, they're not the same family, but we have 284. So the flame shoulder is described as 12 to 15 millimetres long, resembles no other resident species. Like, it's quite, if you see, it's quite different to any of the others that we've looked up on any of the pages.
Would you mind describing it?
Well, it's sort of a creamy colour, from its shoulders, shoulders back to the ends of the main wing, has a couple of dots with a white outline around on a darker patch of the wing, and The flight season is April to September, so they're around for quite a while. You know, they're around for most of our summer, and they overwinter in Ireland as a pupae, so the little maggoty type of grub.
Beautiful.
that would be, you know, down maybe just at the ground surface or in the leaf litter under bushes and trees. They are associated. Their food plants are groundsel and plantain, and so these are the sorts of plants that are around here on the farm, and also the main habitat that they would be in would be gardens, farmland and woodland, and also wetland. So they would be sort of a generalist species that is associated with quite a few habitat types, whereas you might get a more rare moth that is more associated with just one particular habitat type, and if something happens to that habitat, then that moth becomes more endangered. So, as I say, this is a generalist, whereas the specialist ones are the ones that are more rare.
Can I ask the question?
Yes.
No, like, obviously it's light during the day and whatnot. How can we see more moths at night time than we do during the day?
Well, we have actually more moths than we do butterflies, and the butterflies are the ones that people are more familiar with, just because they're probably more brightly coloured, and they're obviously flying around during daytime. We do have a few daytime flying moths as well, but they're more camouflaged, so they don't stand out so well and you don't see them. But the moths have evolved to fly at night time. They're trying to avoid predators such as birds and animals that might try and eat them, and so they have this great camouflage that they blend into the trees or the rocks or, you know, the habitat that they are found mostly in, to evade the predators. And as I said earlier, they use the moon for navigation and finding their way around. So the best time to do moth trapping is on nights when the moon is a new moon, because if you've got the bright moon and your light from your trap, they still have the moon to navigate by and find their way around. Whereas on a dark night, when it's only your light from your trap, it's more easy then to trap them, because they're more easily drawn to your light than the moon. But, you know, they're pollinators, so they're out at night time pollinating plants when we're all asleep in bed. So, but they're serving a very important job.
Much more than just eating our clothes.
Yes, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of people would only be familiar with moths that are pests, but moths are very beneficial to have around. And of course, they're another species that we were looking for here last night. Were bats, and they're a very important food source for species like bats, and then also birds that would try and catch them as they wake up. As the birds wake up, they're trying to catch any moths that still haven't gone to bed, or they'd, you know, so they're an important part of the ecosystem and the food chain.
When you say it like that.
And everything has a function within the ecosystem, and they're either preying on something else or they're prey themselves, so everything is interconnected and has a purpose, not just eating our clothes.
Now, I for one didn't realise that there were more moths than butterflies around, but I suppose it all makes sense when you think about it. If you ever have the yard light on at night time and you see a million and one moths fluttering around it, whereas during the day, I find it's very rare you see butterflies around. Now, I've seen actually a few of my walks. I was in Mathrock this week and there was a good few little butterflies, and beautiful colours, of course. But it's just amazing when you kind of sit back and think about it. And I suppose when I was on that biodiversity walk as well, and a big thank you to Eleanor Turner for inviting me out, was there were so many little, there was a fly called the St. Mark's fly, and it was just kind of amazing when you hear the story about that. And, you know, you kind of look around and you just kind of take all these things for granted. Have any of you been for a walk and you hear something just kind of shudder in the grass and you think, oh, what's that? But you can't see anything. It's just kind of amazing. Then when you actually kind of put your thinking hat on and you realise, oh, maybe that was like a little, you know, what's the name of those little mice? That a shrew. It could be a little shrew or something like that, or all these insects. But they all, as he said, as Chris said, all of them have their own roles as well. So it's pretty amazing when you do think about it and take an interest in it. But I would really recommend on going on a biodiversity walk as well, just to be familiar with all these things as well. And thank you to Chris for taking the time to talk to us about moths, because he had so many other things to deal with as well. Now, on Tuesday on our Facebook page on Radio Kerry, I put up a little picture of Inch Beach. I was over in Inch Beach there during the week and it was absolutely fabulous. The weather, I didn't think it would stick out because, you know, it was very mixed this week, as I was saying, but it was absolutely phenomenal. And a lot of you got in touch. I asked the question, let us know where your favourite beach is here in the kingdom. And a few of you got in touch. So Breda Hannon got in touch and sent us a beautiful picture of Beale Beach. I've never been to Beale Beach, but it looks fabulous. And you can see the sun is in the picture and the lovely little stones and the water in the background. It's absolutely fabulous. So thank you, Breda, for getting in touch with that. Teresa Burke gets in contact and she says, for me, undoubtedly, it is Banna. Great memories going back in the mid-1970s when I first visited there with my young family. Summers of fun and freedom. Thank you, Teresa. That's beautiful. Mike Hennessy sent us a picture of Inch Beach from way above, and it's absolutely beautiful, the colours in that picture. Liz Bradford says, there's only Inch. Oh, and Derry Nan. Oh, I nearly forgot Castle Cove too. Too many fabulous beaches in Kerry. I love them all. She's so right. We have such a variety of beaches here. It's fantastic. And a few others of you get in touch. Rossby Beach, Ballyhigh, Ballybunion. Where else? Banna again, Inch Beach. Gráinne na Gard says Banna Beach, and sent us a lovely picture as well of that as well. So thank you very much for everyone that got in touch. And if you have any suggestions on where is the best beach to go here in Kerry, get in touch with us. We're on 083 300 3300. Now, continue on from our recordings of Castle Island Daycare Centre, where we hear some poems. Here is Helen Barrett giving us her favourite poems, and then afterwards we hear from Mary O'Hanlon.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's your first name?
Helen Barrett. This is a poem about the guilty child, it's called, and it's written by Dennis Pod Brosnan, and he was a Corra man. So it's about a girl called Mary Maguire, and she came from Corra. Mm-hmm. It's a very old poem as well. Mm-hmm. So and it's called The Guilty Child. She stood at a bar of justice, a creature vain and void, in a form too small for a woman, in features too old for a child. With a look so wan and pathetic, 'twas stamped on her young pale face, it seemed as if long years of suffering had left its silent trace. "Your name," said the judge as he eyed her, with kindly looks yet keen. "I'm Mary Maguire, if you please, sir. And your age? I'm just 16. "Well, prisoner," and then from a paper he slowly and bravely read, "the charge on which you're brought here is stealing 3 loaves of bread. You do not look like an old offender, and the records, they have nothing to show. I hope you can prove this charge to be false. Are you guilty, yes or no?" A passionate burst of weeping was at first her sole reply, but she dried her tears in a moment and looked in the judge's eye. "No. I'll tell you how it was, sir. My father and mother, they are dead. My little brothers and sisters were hungry and asked me for bread. At first I earned it for them by working hard all day, but somehow the times grew harder and the work all fell away. I could get no more employment and the weather was bitterly cold. The little ones cried and shivered. Little Johnny was just 4 years old. So what was I to do, sir? I'm guilty, but do not condemn. I took, oh, was it stealing, the bread to give to them. And every man in the courthouse, grey-bearded and thoughtless youths, knew as they looked at her that the prisoner told the truth. And out of their pockets sprang handkerchiefs, and out of their eyes rolled tears, and out of old faded wallets came treasures they'd hoarded for years. The judge's face was spellbound, the strangest you ever saw, as he cleared his throat and muttered something about the law. And nobody blamed him or wondered when he looked at her and said, the sentence of this young prisoner is for the moment deferred. And nobody blamed him or wondered when he went to her and smiled and gently led her from the courthouse himself The Little Guilty Child.
What does that poem mean to you?
I think it just tells of the way things were long ago and how hard it was for a lot of people growing up, and especially in hard times where there was a lot of TB and sickness and things long ago, and a lot of children were left without their parents. Mm-hmm. So,
Mary O'Hanlon.
Mary.
I got it clear. Am I the fool? But there are something about the religion, and all I know about Edinburgh Hospital was the hospital for TB, you see, long ago, and they were all young in my time, you know, and it was very sad. The funerals were passing up the school and that, and there was this patient, and he wrote a poem, and I had it up perhaps, but it's gone. I've not in my head, but that's gone. But I have a small bit of it.
Yeah, do you want to share a small bit?
I have a small bit, yeah. My parents have told me I'd one day regret my youthful and airy carrying, but I scoffed at their warning. I think of it yet. I gave them no hearing. As soon as I'd be with the grass growing o'er me, alone and quiet and asleep peacefully, with my friends who are gone to their graves long before me, in that lone little grave in Arfert by the sea. There's a dear little spot where with pleasant is childhood, with small friends I wander so happy and free, when fragrant wild flowers were in bloom in the wild wood round my old cottage home in Arfert by the sea. To the long summer day when bright sun was shining, how oft we played in the horn-tall tree in a gay noisy group till the eve was declining on those green mossy banks in Arfert by the sea. Then the years stole away with our innocent pleasure. We were boys and no longer we children could be. We drank from the cup full of life's jolly measure and the dances and sport in Arfert by the sea. But now there are changes, the places seem so lonely. These bright happy faces no more can I see, and the kind-hearted parents that rear me so fondly are asleep in their graves in Arfert by the sea. Through the long winter nights we were dancing and singing, round the old kitchen floor we were wheeling in glee, and the notes of a jig were so cheerily ringing in my old cottage home in Arfert by the sea. So far distant chimes, many friends have departed, and others lie cold in their small 6x3. I am weary, I am sad, I am nigh broken-hearted. I can meet them no more in Arfert by the sea. And soon we will be, the grass growing over me, I had that. So silent, the cold, and the sleep peacefully, with my friends who have gone to their graves long before me, in that ancient home, Arfert by the sea. Thank you.
That was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, can I say,
why do you like that poem so much?
I got from reading it, but I had that from the here. This patient wrote in Edinburgh, and I did have it at home because my young lads done away with me, because I do keep things ancient. And when I went and looked at it, I got a few verses came to my head, and I gave them to Rita. But she went for a fall, I thought she was reneging me. And thank you, Rita. I'll have to get copy of that. I love that.
Yeah, it was.
But
excellent.
Can I say, I have a foot. You see, she gave me one here now to read. But
the turf buyers.
I know, but I have one that said that in my head. And to make up for the time that it's here, I'll get your mom on my own, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind.
When you're ready.
Right. I remember the house where I was born. The little windows when the sun came peeping in at morn. It never came a wink too soon nor brought too long a day. Now I wave and wish the night had borne my breath away. I remember when I was a boy, and I changed, when I was a boy, I used that tree between the top of my clothes against the sky. It was just a childish memory, but now it's little joy to think I'm further off from heaven than when I was a boy. Now, you want the three fish? That's one. Three little fish went out to swim upon the summer day. They swam in and out and round about, and right well pleased with that. We might well have a jolly one. And right well pleased with this. They swam in and out and round about, right well pleased with that. At night they saw the sun go right behind the crocus pile. Let's hurry home, they said, and get a bed before the world in the fire. Do you want the shadow? Do you want another one?
Go on, so.
I have a little shadow. He goes in and out with me. And what can be the use of him the more than I can see? He's very very like me. He's up to the head and he jumps in before me when I jump into his bed. One morning very early, before the sun is up, I'm shocked later. I walk upon shining dew and every but the cup. But my lazy little shadow, like a non-sleepy head, has stayed at home behind me and was fast asleep a bit. And one do I want my food on? No. All right. I see my silver collar then. Tell me not in mournful numbers. Tell me not in mournful numbers. Life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead, the slumbers. Things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is honest. The grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, the dust returns. Was not spoken of the soul. You all right?
Absolutely.
Right?
Do you like reading and singing poems?
Oh, I love reading, yeah. Because, honestly, I was no real scholar, but I am Irish. But the Irish got in my... They couldn't teach me Irish, so I had to do something.
And how's that working out for you?
I was at Latin for better than Irish. Which became for Irish, and it couldn't get into my head. And I have an Irish beat. By God, I bought an Irish beat. And that's it, Joe. Then if all the... Shinny Nora, Shinny Sean, Bukal Dubbogs, Colleen Bond. Ta Nora Gora, Gola Te, Ta Pusser Sean, it's Pusser A. I'll lap it anyway. Only discrimination gets the buyer. Poor little buyer, he was fair and he was pussy. Anyway. Sorry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. And a big thank you to everyone at Castle Island Daycare Centre. They were all so kind, enthusiastic and welcoming, and no doubt we'll be back there in the near future. And that was Helen Barrett and Mary O'Hanlon speaking with me at the end of our recordings there. As I said, we got loads. It took 3 shows to put it in with the last while, but it was fantastic. And I will be podcasting that whole section as well as a whole on the Travels Through a Kingdom podcast section on radiocarry.ie over the week as well. We need to take a quick break. Before we do that, I'll just get to a few comments that we have here. Hi Kaya, Beale is a lovely beach only 15 minutes away from me. I sometimes take my dog for a walk there. Charles. Thank you, Charles. It looks beautiful from the picture that I got anyway. Patrick in Listosa's, Kylemore in Ballyduff. Must give that a look as well. And we get another one there from the best of luck to Emma Brown in Tussist in the Kerry Rose contestant of Rosa Tree from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thank you very much for that as well. Jeez, the Rosa Tree won't be long coming anyway, so we better start making plans for that too. Okay, we'll go for a quick break and we'll be back with more on Travels Through a Kingdom after these.
Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
Now is that time of the week where we revisit the archive of Sean Hurley, and this week's piece comes from when Sean spoke with Tommy Kennedy in 2011.
Our next stop now is down in beautiful Port Magee, where back in July of 2011, I met some active retired there, including Tommy Kennedy and Jim O'Connor, who told me they came from Valentia Island.
Tommy, how are you?
Just existing.
Do you live far away from the famous men over there on the island?
Yeah, just only a couple of miles.
Is it all?
That's that.
And how's he keeping?
Oh, he's flying.
Is he?
Yeah. He is.
And his son as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Dermot, yeah?
Yeah, very good.
You travel around a bit, I'd say, do you?
Yeah, just wandering around.
Is it all?
Yeah.
And what did you do in your lifetime? Were you a farmer or a fisherman?
Just only just picking away.
Picking away?
That's all, yeah.
You're not telling me much?
No, so I haven't had to tell you.
Did you have many acres of land?
4.
I'm always interested when you hear about small farmers, what they have on those acres, you know. What did you have on those 4 acres?
Hey.
What did you put on the 4 acres?
3 sheep.
Are they still alive?
They weren't alive this morning, you know.
They
were.
It's a tough old life in an island, I'd say, is it?
Oh, it's lovely in the island.
Is it nice?
Quite and peaceful. Plenty of time for sleep.
The island has come on a lot in the last 40 years, hasn't it? Because we remember a time when Mick O'Connell himself, we had no bridge around here, isn't that right? There was no bridge linking.
He put himself in and out.
Yeah.
In this punt.
And he went to many a match, didn't he?
Yeah. And went to practicing.
Where does he practice his football?
Oh, he's got to get me.
Yeah, but was there any place at home on the island that he would practice?
Field. He played away. Yeah.
Were you very proud as young lads growing up to have known Mick?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Yeah, because he's definitely gone into the record books as one of the finest midfielders in the country.
Too true.
Yeah. Thank you for talking to us, and we hope those sheep will do well.
I hope they live.
Yeah, they will, of course.
They might.
They won't die for the want of grass anyway.
Not yet, you know.
And that was the archive of Sean Hurley, which we play every week here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And that is almost it for tonight's programme. As always, it does go so fast. And we just got another comment in there as well. Carr's Cove in Castle Cove is a nice beach restaurant pub with pleasant staff as well. And that also comes in from Dermot. And Margaret Ann in Tuse says, thank you so much for getting in touch with lovely beaches around the county. We have way too many to choose from. But aren't we lucky that we have that? You know, when you think, I mean, if you go Midlands or anything like that, we don't have the luxury of just going off to the beach on a hot day. So we are very lucky where we are. And that's why they call it a kingdom, I suppose. This programme will be podcasted shortly on the Radio Kerry website, on our podcast and Apple iTunes as well. And I'll share it on our social media pages as well, if you'd like to listen back at any stage or pass it on to a friend who might enjoy it too. We will be back next week at the same time. And if you want to get in touch or involved with Travels Through a Kingdom, you can email me, kflynn, that's the letter K, Flynn at radiokerry.ie to get in touch, or send a letter to Radio Kerry Main Street 3D as well. That's a nice way to get in touch. Aileen Kinsler is on the way with 7 days, looking back over the week here on Radio Kerry. And then Sean Riley is up with his Irish favourites. And no doubt, when I go home, the radio will be on in the kitchen with Sean Riley present as well. So until next Sunday, if I don't talk to you then, we'll see you at the same time, more or less around 6:15. Take care.
Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.